Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October 29th, actually. I wrote 27, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. Not too long ago, our public library sent out a post encouraging people to submit their art and writing to University of Alaska Southeast's Title Echoes, which is a literary and art journal that highlights Southeast Alaskans. And with us today, we have Rosh Rayback, who is helping publish this year's Title Echoes. Rosh is going to talk with us about everything Title Echoes. You can call in to ask a question. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, Rosh. How are you today?
Hello. I'm doing pretty good. It's a nice rainy day in Juneau, as always.
Great. Awesome. And am I pronouncing your name right, Rosh?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. So yeah, it's rainy here too. There's some wind. I'm looking out the window right now. So will you introduce yourself to our listeners and say what your role is with Title Echoes?
Yeah. So I'm Rosh Rayback. I'm a senior at UAS, and I'm the fall intern for Title Echoes, which is the one student role that we have in the fall that is just to help get submissions. I work with the featured artists and the featured writers to conduct some interviews, and I'm just really getting the word out and getting as many submissions in as I can.
Awesome. And how is it going now? How's the submission process? When did you start? Did you start in September?
Yeah, so I started having meetings with Emily Wall, who is the faculty mentor and organizer of Title Echoes, in September at the beginning of the semester. And we have weekly meetings, and we just go over the tasks. And it's going pretty good. We're approaching the deadline. We have about a month left before the submissions are closed. And so we're really starting to kick into gear. I'm going to be on KTOO in a couple weeks as well. I'm visiting some high schools. So just really trying to get the word out to as many people as I can.
That's really awesome. So the publication is a literary and art journal. Will you elaborate on what that means?
Yeah, so it's a very cool opportunity for anybody who's living in Southeast. So it's a literary and art journal, which means that it features creative writing of all kinds. So that could be prose, memoir, poetry. We really strive to get a lot of different types of writing in there, and then art. So we have any kind of art that you create, we want to feature that in the journal. Right now we can only really do visual art in some kinds. We're trying to work on figuring out how to incorporate other forms of art, but painting, weaving, we have a lot of pottery in there, a lot of ceramics, a lot of photography as well. So just we're trying to feature as many kinds of different art as we can, whether that be writing or visual art.
That's really awesome. You just brought me back to when I was in college, and there was a similar publication in Michigan, and this was when we all used CDs, and so there was always a CD that was included in a...
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what... I mean, I guess you could... If you were going to incorporate, you know, audio, it could be, you know, digital or something, obviously.
Yeah.
So I just found out that this year's publication is, I think, the 22nd annual anniversary or whatever of its existence. Could you share some of its history?
Yeah. So Title Echoes originally started in 2003, 2004. It's a little bit like, because the publication year is like, you know, the year after it actually gets started. So 2003, 2004 was when it started by Alexis Easley and Emily Wall, who it was just only a student journal at that point, only took student submissions. And then Emily Wall took over complete mentorship in 2007. And that's when we began featuring writers and artists and incorporating more of it being a regional journal. So allowing everybody in Southeast to participate, because it was, you know, it was getting, it was losing a little bit of traction there. And so we were trying to, you know, spread the word and make it a bigger project than it was previously. And so in 2008, Nora Marks-Sonnehauer was the featured writer. And then in 2010, it was Jane Therese was the artist. And so we've had, and then so since then, we've been featuring writers and artists that have published works that are maybe a little bit more pronounced in the community to really get the word out and to have like that as like a showcase.
Really cool. And so, I mean, then if it was, it's possibly it's the 20th anniversary for Tidal Echoes, I'm guessing.
Yes, it's so I think we and Emily were actually talking about this, and I think we both kind of had a moment when we were discussing like when it came out that we're like, oh my gosh, it might be the 20th anniversary of Tidal Echoes, which is a pretty big deal. And so we were thinking about doing something for the launch that's a little bit more signifying of that. But yeah, I think it might be the 20th anniversary. I guess
Yeah.
a little hazy because the start was a little slow, so it's the exact year to pin down is a little bit harder, but there might be some 20th anniversary celebrations happening at the launch in the spring.
That would be awesome. That would be really great. Yay, congratulations to Tidal Echoes. So throughout the 20 years then, how can you just go into like more of how Tidal Echoes evolved? I know it was initially a student publication. But is there anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, so it's definitely gotten a lot larger and more pronounced as the years have gone on. I think that has to do a lot with more advertising and including more submissions from outside of just the university. I think part of that does include having these featured writers. I know when I was in the Writing Center here at UAS, I was discussing with the other tutors there about the submission process, and they were pulling out these old archived Tidal Echoes before it was called I can't remember exactly what it made like Breakthrough or something. It had a different title, and they actually found a note from Charles Bukowski in one of the books because he was a featured writer at some point in the process. So we it's been kind of a slower process in the initial few years to get as many submissions, but now we upwards of like I think last year we had like maybe 600, 700 submissions in total. So it's definitely grown, and I think that is in part due to the internship opportunities for students. So students really are passionate about this project and they want to spread the word more. And also just the opportunities that come with getting published in a journal that that many people maybe don't have in a lot of like smaller areas. They just don't have a journal that like is local that they can say that they were published in. So I think it's just it has been growing more and more with each featured artist and each featured writer as well.
Wow, that's amazing. So Charles Bukowski was a featured writer. Do you remember what year that was?
Oh gosh, I'm not quite sure. I don't remember what year. It must have been probably before 2010 because that's when we first started getting the featured writers. Probably between 2008 and 2010. So maybe 2009 was it was I don't know the exact year, but right around the beginning there, I think it was. Yeah, but it's very exciting for them because Krasikowski is one of the Writing Center tutors' like favorite authors. So it was like a very exciting moment for her.
That's really cool. And so for the featured writers and featured artists, are they normally well-known, artists, or how does that selection work?
Yeah, so that's part of the job as the fall intern is like looking through local Southeast writers and artists and seeing like what like who we might want to feature. Where we really strive to get diverse voices in there. We don't want to do like the same kind of vibe every single year. So we kind of search through. It's actually kind of a difficult process. At least for myself, it was because there's so many writers, especially in Southeast Alaska, that are also awesome. But usually the qualifiers that we look for is having been published by a larger like not self-published but like have been published in journals and maybe have a book is like a good qualifier for artists, maybe having some kind of like a showcase or being featured in some like art museums or having some kind of shows like that show that they're maybe a little bit more established as well-known writers and artists. We don't have like any like strict qualifications for that, but mostly just being published and having showcases to show that they are more established, just to be able to to say that we featured somebody who is more notable.
Yeah, definitely. I get that for sure. And then could you go into the selection process for, you know, everyone else who would be in the journal?
Yeah, so the board for Title Echoes is composed of the students, the student interns, the editors, faculty and like staff at UAS, and sometimes even community members come in. It's like a larger board of maybe 10 to 15 people. It depends on the year of who's all involved. But everybody sits down and does a blind read. So names are removed from all of the work, and we kind of just go through and decide which ones we like definitely want in, maybe some maybes, some that maybe don't quite fit the journal as well that year. And we do that a few times. We do a blind read, and then maybe we compare some with others to figure out maybe which ones will fit more. But it's a pretty long process. It goes from January until about like early March is when people start getting notified if they've been accepted into the journal.
Yeah. And how's this year's submission process going?
It's going pretty good. We have a small bundle of people who have already submitted now. Most of the time we get a huge influx at the very end, you know, right on December 1st, we get tons of submissions in because everybody has been working on their projects for a while and they, you know, get them in right under the wire. We tend to have a couple of events, usually, you know, at the Juno University to get people to submit. Like we have a computer open with like submittable so they can just like upload their document and submit it right there. So right now we don't have a huge selection, but we get like hundreds of them in the last week of the submission period being open.
Yeah, I think, yeah, procrastination.
Yeah.
Can you say how many submissions you have right now? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I think I have, so part of my job as a fall intern is I put those into a spreadsheet and a document for the blind read. So I think I have about like 12 or 15 literature writing submissions, and maybe less than that for art right now. But again, yeah, it's definitely the last month is when we get a whole bunch of submissions. So where, you know, it's a pretty slow start, and that's when you're trying to get all of those into the spreadsheet and into the document before the huge influx, because, you know, I only have 4 days after the submission before the end of the semester. Well, I have, that's the end of the semester, but I have until grades are due to get all of them put into the spreadsheet before my internship is over, and then it is given to the junior and senior editors in the spring.
Okay. And so, yeah, it's not a rolling, you know, people are not doing the blind read or whatever now. They're waiting for everything to be submitted, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we wait until January for the blind read to start happening, just to make sure that everything everyone is in, and we're not making any decisions preemptively.
Yeah. So why should people submit?
It's a really awesome opportunity to submit, especially for beginning writers and artists, to say that you've been published in a work that is like, it's an official journal, like it's sold, you know, in the local libraries and libraries all over the region. It's really good for a resume if that's something you're looking for, or a portfolio. It also helps to get published in other journals if you've been published before. That's one thing that Emily Wall tells us all the time as her students. She's always like, make sure you're getting published, because the more you get published, the more you get published, kind of thing. Like it's more of a snowball effect. But also just to get your art out there, if you want people to be able to see your art, to read your writing. It's really nice to have like so many people get Title Echoes, and it goes all over the nation. We have family members, you know, in like Tennessee or in Indiana, who are ordering like 5-10 copies for all of their family members down there. And so if you want your, like, and somebody might see your reading and they recognize your name and be able to apply that to you later on. It's just a really cool feeling I've been published before in it before I was an intern, and it's just a cool thing to see your writing in a book, or your art published in a book.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it's awesome. So what would you say? How has the publication enriched the Southeast Alaska community, and vice versa? How has the Southeast community enriched Tidal Echoes?
I love this question so much. When I remember I saw it in the email originally, just because I think that the journal is such a cool way of talking about some complicated issues. You know, as a Southeast Alaskan journal, I feel like a lot of people think that their writing or their art has to be Southeast focused, and that's absolutely not the case. We accept writing of all about anything. And so when we get a lot of these unique perspectives coming into this journal and they're all compiled into one, you know, book, we see a lot of different perspectives about different issues or different experiences that people have. And it really just like highlights how diverse Southeast Alaska is just in personal experiences. And I think that that gives back to the community in a way of being able to see the art that comes from this area. I know that like Juneau has a really large art scene. And I know a lot of other places in Southeast Alaska also have a very large art scene. And I think that art is just something that ties people together. And I think that the journal itself like highlights that in a very like direct way of just putting it all in the same book, no matter what the topic is or who's writing it.
Yeah. And can other people who are not in Southeast Alaska submit?
Unfortunately, it is only limited to people living in Southeast Alaska as a regional journal. It is dedicated to people who have been, you know, living here or who live here full time. Just to highlight really the region itself. I don't know if there's any goal or future movement to make it more than a regional journal, but I think even as a just regional, it still shows like how much diversity and artistic talent we have in this, you know, small Southeast area.
Definitely. So why did you want to work for Tidal Echoes?
It's a really cool process to be able to see the back end of a journal or some kind of publishing program as somebody who's like working for it and promoting it. It's part of, so for English majors or, you know, English minors here at UAS, part of the degree is either doing an internship or a thesis. And Tidal Echoes is a really good way of having that internship and being able to have those experiences of editing people's work, of compiling work. I've really improved just in my own personal experience of like being able to communicate with other people. Sending emails, it was a really big thing for me before the semester. I got really nervous and stuff, but I've had to send so many and communicate with so many people and do many and new things for me, like being on the radio, that I would have not experienced not doing this internship. So part of it is just for the 3 credits that I get, but a major part of it is just being a part of something like larger than myself and promoting this and helping other people get their art seen, and also having that experience of being in a journal, because I know it was so nice for me when I got accepted a couple years ago.
Yeah. And you're an English major?
I'm a social science major, but I do have a creating writing minor.
Oh, cool. Awesome. And yeah, thanks for sharing your experience on Tidal Echoes. It seems like you definitely just received a lot of growth and all of that, a personal growth, I would say, which is awesome. So is there any other reason why you think Tidal Echoes is so important?
I feel like I've covered a lot of it, but I just really think it's a great way to showcase Alaska, Southeast Alaska's art and writing groups. I feel like we always, you know, there's always new ways to share art with each other. And I think that the journal is a great way to do that, especially run through the university, where it has a very open submission process where anybody can submit and it doesn't have any of the pre-qualifiers that maybe other journals have. I love that we can feature artists and have like this whole design process and give these opportunities to students to internship for something that might help them in the future as well.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Do you have any previous examples you'd like to share from other years and, you know, other journals, or obviously Tidal Echoes?
I did have a couple of poems. I could just pick one of them to read from last year's. This was 2024's, where the featured writer was was a Misty St. Clair, and the featured artist was oh my gosh, I'm completely blanking on her name. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I'm the same way.
The featured artist was Elise Tomlinson. So I have one poem from Mayra Bianco from Juno, and I felt it was topical because it's titled In Autumn, and I feel like we're just reaching that cusp of autumn where autumn turns into winter. If you would like me to read it.
That would be wonderful.
In autumn, when leaves start to fall wetly to the ground and worried geese go honking noisily overhead and rain start and stop and wind rustles through the drying grasses, I like to walk and look at the sky reflected in the oceans of mud puddles, filled with mermaids and sharks and patchwork fish, trailing stars and shimmering nets. The mirrored stillness waits for a raindrop, a feather, a tiny rock, movement, concentric circles that make the waters of this dark ocean wave out and out to the edge of the world, bringing us along.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Are you reading from a and yeah, you're reading from a physical journal?
I am, yeah, we don't offer online versions of the journal. I don't know if yet, we with everything becoming digitalized, we might in the future work towards that, but right now it is just a physical copy.
Yeah. Is there a way you can just like thumb through and find a piece of art and describe what it looks like.
Yeah, one of my there's one that I always go back to. It's when I look through this journal, it's from AJ Schultz. He's a student here at UAS. And it's called Gold Over Auk Bay at Sunset, and it is a it's a picture of Auk Bay with and it's a very late sunset, so it's a very dark orange hue, and the mountains are like a set in shadow, so they're just black mountains, and then the gulls are also profiled, so they're just everything is so stark contrast to the really fiery orange water that's happening. And I feel like sunsets are something so rare to see in Southeast. So when you get to see a picture of them with the mountains behind and the clouds streaking through the sky, it's a very beautiful photo. There's a lot of really cool colored photos. Only some photos and art is in color in the journal just for printing purposes. So when we choose the ones that have super striking color to be seen, it's awesome to like flip to a page and just see like a flash of bright orange. To look at.
Yeah, that sounds so good. So, for people interested in submitting, they have until December 1st. Can you say
Yes.
who's qualified to submit?
Anybody is qualified to submit as long as they are living in Southeast Alaska full time. We really look for as many diverse voices as possible. Over the past couple years, we've been really striving to get more high school and middle school students to submit because it's really super awesome to see, those younger voices in the journal. So if there's any high schoolers or parents of high schoolers and middle schoolers listening, I definitely would suggest your artistic kids to submit their work to the journal. But any artist of any kind can submit up to 5 pieces of poetry, 5 pages of prose double spaced, and 5 art pieces. And there's You can submit all three of those, like 5 of each. Or it's 5,000 words of prose, sorry. So five, easy five. So 5 poems, 5,000 words of prose, and 5 photos
Great.
or images of some art.
Yeah. And so just to have a clarification, prose is pretty broad. So fiction, nonfiction. I'm
Yeah,
reading.
it's sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, so prose in our definition is fiction or creative nonfiction, which could look like a personal essay, a memoir. It's really just any form of writing that is in a block and is not separated by stanzas. But we're really looking for creative work. So maybe not your science essay that you wrote, but if you're using creative techniques in it, that also is totally applicable. But yeah, memoirs, personal essays, micro fiction, flash fiction, that kind of thing is what we're really looking for prose.
Cool. And I'm also reading plays, so scripts, perhaps?
Yeah. I don't know if we featured a script in a while, but I would love to see it's like a playwright or a script in there. Also, some digital art. I would love that's my mission this semester is trying to get more digital art in the journal. So those are two things that we don't see a lot of that I would love to see.
Yeah, yeah. And then from the instructions for visual art, just what you said, digital art, then there's the photography, painting, sculpture, beadwork, and more.
Yes, anything that you can take a picture of and display or upload an image of, we would love to see it. So if you can find a way to take photos of a dance or something like that, that'd be awesome as well. I'm trying to think of like architecture, things like that. We've had a lot of people who are more biology focused here at UAS submit their anatomical drawings that they have like colored in and like made really artistic and visually appealing. So it can be any kind of visual art that you want to submit, but we're always looking for new things. So if you have something a little out there, I would definitely still consider submitting it because, you know, we're always trying to find new things here.
Awesome. And how do people submit?
So yes, you can go to the Tidal Echoes website at uas.alaska.edu, and there is a button to submit. It's through Submittable, which is a really easy process. You just add your contact information, a brief bio about yourself, and then you just upload your documents for writing or your, I think it's JPEG or PNGs for photos. So a pretty quick process. And then we go through those and you'll know in mid spring when, if you've been accepted.
That's great. And then when the whole journal is published and all, where can people get a copy?
Yeah, so local libraries, I know that Hearthside here in Juneau, there is, oh, I had this tab open actually. I can pull it up. I think there's actually a list of libraries on the Tidal Echoes website that show where you can get the journal. But you can also email us and order them to be shipped to you. So I think, I said it's Juneau Sitka and Ketchikan campus bookstores. Kindred Post is partnering to ship copies of the book to any location. Hearthside, the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. And so just a lot of different areas. If you look on our Tidal Echoes website, there's a list of all of the libraries, but we can also ship it.
Okay, and what's the email for people?
uas.tidalechoes@alaska.edu.
Okay, I'm just writing this down. uas.tidalechoes@alaska.edu. Great, awesome, thanks. Okay, is there anything you would like to add to this?
I just really want to encourage people to submit their creative work. I don't know if I'll be actually on the board to do the blind read, but I hope Emily Wall will let me sit in and help with that, because I'm just so excited to see what people submit and to see the journal in the spring. So definitely submit anything you want. You know, it's so awesome to get published, and I support anybody who would like to do that. And reach out if you have questions. I man the email, so I'll be able to see it and respond.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Raj. Have a great day and enjoy the whole the rest of the process for the Tidal Echoes. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. You're so welcome. That was Raj Rayback, who is a fall intern at University of Alaska Southeast Tidal Echoes journal, literary and art journal. Next, we're gonna hop into World Cafe.